Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's good to see you all out for the last session of the day. And we have a lot to be grateful for. The Lord has been giving us beautiful weather. Some of you may possibly complain about a little drought, but the Lord doeth all things well. And we thank Him for the sunshine, we thank Him for the rain, we thank Him for the cold days and the hot days, and for the health and strength enabling us to respond to the invitation and to get onto the sound of His Word again. Now, I believe that some of you remember that this morning I told you that tonight we'd be looking at that question, is there any word from the Lord? Is there any word from the Lord? Because very often the Lord's servants are asked, do you have a word for us? Do you have a message to give? The preacher is often asked that. The evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, the prophet, what he has to proclaim is of precious little value unless it is from the Lord. And the question that we have under consideration tonight is one that was asked by what we often refer to him as the weeping prophet. Who was he? The weeping prophet, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 37, there are a few verses here I'd like to read. Jeremiah chapter 37. We begin at verse 11. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself there in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. In other words, he was telling Jeremiah, I think you're betraying us. You are a friend of our enemies. Then Jeremiah said, it's false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? Remember, this was a time of hostility. The armies of the enemy were seeking to destroy Jerusalem. And the king was no doubt very concerned about the future of his family, his friends, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah said, there is a very positive response. Yes, there is a word from the Lord. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now that was not a very pleasant message, was it? That word from the Lord was no doubt a disturbing bit of information. That word from the Lord was a word of judgment. A word that no doubt caused the king further consternation and concern. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets, who prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him a daily piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Chapter 38. Then Sephathiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchijah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, this is the word from the Lord, Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prize, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death. Let's destroy Jeremiah. He is a bearer of evil tidings. Let him be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the harm. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he who can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchijah, the son of Hamilech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. For the sake of time, we'll stop here. The rest of this chapter is also very fascinating. Read of an Ethiopian by the name of Ebed-Melech, one of the eunuchs who came to Jeremiah's rescue and assisted in getting him taken up from the dungeon. But I have the greatest admiration for this weeping prophet, this man who was so faithful, this man who was so fearless in giving forth the word of the Lord. It cost him a great deal to be faithful. And faithfulness to God and to his word is still very costly. If you are going to follow the instructions that are given by God in the sacred scriptures, you will find a lot of people who will not agree with you. A lot of people who will try to impose their own interpretation on the sacred scriptures and swerve you away from the path of truth. But may God help us to be faithful. Like Jeremiah of old, one who suffered greatly, one who was cast into prison, one who was smitten and beaten and despised, and he was really hated by so many there in the city of Jerusalem many years ago because of his faithful, accurate prophecies. What he told them was a word from the Lord, the message of the Lord. And the message of the Lord does not always sound good to the human ear. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it burns, sometimes it causes pain and anguish, but if it is from the Lord, remember, is true, because it is impossible for God to lie. Is there any word from the Lord? In York, Pennsylvania, there's a dear brother who is very well known throughout this country and in other parts of the world too. His name is Steve Hulshiser. Some of you may be acquainted with him. He has visited the South Florida area. And he has an organization established called Spread the Word. And I admire Steve Hulshiser for his diligent programs in getting the Word of God circulated as widely as possible. I believe that he is doing a great work. And he is not, to the best of my knowledge and belief, I don't believe he's trying to impose his own ideas and thoughts and interpretations, but I believe that his heart's desire is to spread the word. And they call this organization STW. Whenever you see in Christian circles reference made to STW, usually it is to spread the word. Now, the word is very important. The word of God's servants may be very important, but the word of God's servants must be in accordance to the precious, holy word of God. When Jeremiah was asked this question, is there any word from the Lord? His emphatic, positive response was, there is. Yes, I have a message from the Lord. I have a word from God to share with you. And I am wondering if that message, that question were asked of us as individuals. Do you have a word from the Lord? Do you know what the Lord would have us to do? Do you know what the Lord would have us to know? Do you have an answer to this particular problem? Any word from the Lord? Now, I understand, I haven't checked this personally, and there is no guarantee as to the accuracy of the figures, but I understand that in this book, the Sacred Scriptures, this amazing book, there are 73,692 words in the King James Version of the Holy Bible. 773,692 words. They are found in 31,173 verses. In 1,189 chapters. In 66 books written by 40 different authors. In two testaments, the Old Testament containing 39 books, the New Testament containing 27. Old and New Testament of the King James Version. The word Bible is not found in the Bible. It's not in the Scriptures. That word, Bible. But the word simply means the book. When anyone refers to the Bible, usually they are referring to this book. The sacred scriptures of both Old and New Testaments are accepted by the Christian church as divine revelation. It's a word from the Lord. There's a song we sing sometimes, I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. A message unto you I bring. A message from the Lord. It is of little value trying to give messages that are not from the Lord. I was at a conference of Christians in New York City, sitting in the congregation, listening to a dear servant of the Lord, speaking from the Word of God, and he held up his Bible. And he says, I love this book. He says, there are three things I want to tell you about this book and advise you concerning this book. Add nothing to it. It's a complete book. Doesn't need any addition. Add nothing to it. Take nothing from it. And change nothing in it. That's being done today, you know. Additions, subtractions, and changes. Add nothing to it. You will find in the last chapter of the sacred scriptures, Genesis chapter 22, you will find there an admonition not to add nor subtract from the word of God. If you do, you're in danger of incurring his wrath. Add nothing to it, take nothing away from it, and change nothing in it. A wonderful book. As a child in Sunday school, we used to love singing, and I think many Sunday school children still sing, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. How we thank God for this book. It is not good enough to just have a copy of the sacred scriptures in your home. It is not good enough to dust off that copy. Keep it nice and clean and in a prominent place, a place of honor in your home. But in order for it to be of benefit to us, we must read it with an open mind, read it with a prayer in our hearts, asking God, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I am amazed, after many years of reading and studying the Word of God, I am amazed at the freshness, the new truths that come from these precious pages as I peruse them, as I study them day by day. There are some passages that are very well known. Some passages of scripture are common in Christian circles. They have been memorized from childhood days. From, like Timothy, when we were little children, we've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. But even though you may have known a passage for a long time, yet on meditation of the Word of God, you often discover a new facet of truth that can be a bulwark against the problems and the trials of life. So we thank God for this precious book. Who is the author? People have asked me, when you talk to them about the scriptures, they have said, it is man that wrote it. And so they don't value this above any other book because they say it's written by mortals. Mere men wrote it. Those people who are used by God to pen these precious words, and I just told you there are 773,692 words in the King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. But those people who are used by God to pen these words, the apostle refers to them as holy men of God. Holy men. And they wrote and spake as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1. Divinely inspired, God breathed. And you notice the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, all scripture, all the
holy, precious canon of the Word of God, all of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You notice when God's servants come to this podium and they bring Bible along, and they're going to read a few verses from the Bible. Those of us who sit in the audience, we don't know what they're going to read or where they're going to read, what book of the Bible they'll be reading from. Could be the Old Testament, could be the New. We don't know. But all Scripture, given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, we benefit from that which we read. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, we read here, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When our Lord was here, He told His disciples, the words that I speak unto you, in John chapter 14, He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father. It is God's word, given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the servants of God. So the author of the Word is the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Inspired, these authors were inspired by God to give the message of God. King Zedekiah, in this time of conflict with the enemy battering at their gates, King Zedekiah says to Jeremiah, any word from the Lord? What are we supposed to do now? We are at wit's end corner. Our backs are against the wall. The soldiers of the enemy, they are surrounding this city. And what are we to do? You have any message from the Lord? Jeremiah, thank God for His faithfulness. We were singing a while ago about the love of God being greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Goes beyond the highest star, it reaches to the lowest hell. And you know what Jeremiah wrote in chapter 31? The Lord gave him a precious word, I think in verse 3. I have loved you. With what kind of love? I have loved you with an everlasting love. So even though the princes, the politicians, the soldiers of the army, the people of this city, even though they may turn against you, even though they may cast you into prison, even though they may put you down in the dungeon, even though they may deny you the comforts of home and family and loved ones, even though they may incarcerate you and you suffer anguish and pain, I want you to keep in mind that I love you. I had you in my heart from the time you were in the womb. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I knew all about you. I had my plans for you. And my love has not diminished one iota. I still love you. So Jeremiah, in spite of all that you suffer, in spite of all the opposition and the antagonism, keep this in mind. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I wonder if we have anybody in the meeting tonight who, because of your faithfulness to God, you suffer, you are ostracized, you are ignored, you are bypassed. I was talking to a student some time ago who told me that because of his Christian testimony and his stand for God in school, he claims that that is the reason that
he was given a failing mark when he thought he had done very well in an exam. Now, some people pay a high price for their faithfulness to God. But if they know the Word of God, if they have it hidden in their hearts, and they know the author of the Word, and realize the value of the Word, it can be a great bulwark in the time of need. Now, our Lord taught with authority. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29, we read that he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He taught with authority. And one of the phrases that we have all through Scripture, in fact, I am told that this phrase occurs over 3,000 times in Scripture. Listen to the phrase. Thus saith the Lord. Or some parallel phrase meaning the same thing. The Lord said, thus saith the Lord. Any word from the Lord? Yes. The Lord has a lot to say on many subjects. And the word of the Lord gives direction. It throws light on our path. And it gives direction and guidance for the people of God. I have heard people on radio and on television, supposed to be Christian stations, I've heard them say, the Lord told me. And the Lord appeared to me and the Lord said unto me. But sometimes what they say is a word from the Lord. It is not found in the word of the Lord. I trust this book. Do you? I believe in the accuracy of this book. And if somebody says something to me as a message from the Lord and is not found in this book or does not correspond to what is written here in this book, then I am under no obligation to accept it. But everything that is written in this book is true. I believe in the accuracy and the authenticity of this precious book and how we praise God that we have it. If we didn't have it, we would be in gross darkness and in ignorance. Our foreparents ascended to heaven, some of them on ladders of fire, burned at the stakes because they believed in this book. They stuck to this book. They defended this book. We thank God for giving to us this book. May we treasure it. May we honor it and respect it. So King Zedekiah says to Jeremiah, any word from the Lord? Want to hear what God has to say on the subject. A lot of people want to hear what man has to say. A lot of folk want to hear what the psychologist has to say. A lot of folk anxiously wait to hear what the president has to say. They want to hear what the governor has to say. They want to hear what their politicians have to say. They want to hear what their teachers have to say. But may God give us an ear that is attuned to the word of the Lord. Because this is the final authority on any and every subject. If I am to give a word from the Lord, I have to know the word of the Lord. If I am to give a message from the Lord, I have to get the message from the Lord
I have to understand it. I have to digest it. It has to bless my own heart before it can be used to bless anybody else. I cannot tell that which I do not know. In modern times, during the past 50 years or so, I have admired greatly, although he comes in for his full share of criticism too, but I have admired greatly Dr. Billy Graham. One reason why I admire him as a servant of God is because listening to his preaching over and over, possibly thousands of times during his ministry, he has used these words. The Bible says,
have you noticed that?
It's not what Billy Graham says, but he is quoting from Scripture. And he says, the Bible says, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these famous servants of God of old, they would come to the folk and they would say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God has to say. It's recorded right here in Scripture. I would say, away with our own opinions and our preconceived ideas. Sometimes we sit and talk with brethren about the work of God, the assembly of God's people. And I will hear, when we're having such discussions, I will hear words like these. Well, I think, or it is my opinion. You know what God tells us in His Word? He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. What we think, the opinions that we have, are of precious little value unless they are influenced and saturated by the Spirit of God. We receive it through the reading of the Word of God. So there's authority here in the Bible. Final court of appeal in every issue that faces the Lord's people. Any word from the Lord? You ask the early Christians. In Acts chapter 8, read of persecution in the early church. And in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8, we read, they that were scattered abroad, persecuting, driven out from their homes, from their villages, ruthlessly uprooted from their accustomed surroundings and environment, scattered abroad, went everywhere. You know what they were doing as they went everywhere? The Bible tells me they were preaching the Word. Whose Word? The Word of the Lord. Preaching the Word. And in that same chapter, we read in verse 5 of that chapter, Philip went down to Samaria and he preached the Word. The Bible says he preached Christ unto them. Now if there's any doubt in your mind as what is the Word, as to what is the Word of God, who is the Word of God, read John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And later on in that chapter we read, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. We beheld His glory. Jesus Christ, the living Word. He is the personalization of the written Word, the Word of the living God. So these early Christians, when they are scattered abroad, everywhere they went, they're talking about Jesus, preaching Christ unto them. When the Lord commissioned his disciples ere he ascended into heaven to go into all the world and preach the gospel, I can see questions on their faces. As our Lord said, yes, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth, I can see a big question mark on the faces of these disciples. Lord, preach the word, preach about you in Jerusalem. That's where they crucified you. That's where your enemies are. That's where they condemned you to death. That's where they spit upon you. That's where they crowned you with thorns. That's where they gave you that heavy cross to carry up to Golgotha's hill. You mean, go to those people? Lord, they are the scum of the earth. Look at the mockery and the disdain, the scorn they had in their hearts for you. Preach the word to those people. He says, yes, tell them that I love them. Tell them that I was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God knew all about it. We had that in the plan from eternal ages past. And I was able by God's grace to carry out that plan as I went to Calvary's cross. So tell them, those same people who were so wicked, barbarous, murderous, you let them know of my love for them. Do you know anybody that's a hard nut to crack? Ungodly in the extreme? You know anybody with criminal tendencies and wicked hard hearts and atheistic, guilty of abominable offenses, iniquities that we couldn't even attempt to describe? You know anybody like that? You know, in Ezekiel's day, he lived among some difficult people. The Bible describes them as being hard-hearted, stiff-necked, disobedient, rebellious people. But the Lord says, don't be afraid of them. Speak my word to them. Go and tell them, thus saith the Lord. And sometimes it's difficult to speak the word of the Lord, even to loved ones at home, loved ones in your own family circle. That's not the easiest place to witness, because those people know you best. They know all about you. And it's very unlikely that they receive the word with gladness. Not too many receiving the word with gladness today. But the word must be proclaimed. You'll notice our Lord often referred to the scriptures. He quoted scripture, quoted from the Old Testament scriptures. And he encouraged his disciples to search the scriptures. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Romans and wanting to teach them on the doctrine of faith, encouraging them to have faith in God, he asks a question in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, what saith the scriptures? What does the Bible have to say on this subject that we're dealing with? What saith the scriptures? And then he goes back into the scriptures, referring to Abraham and to David. In all the scriptures, there are precious lessons for the people of God to learn. And we must learn them. We must understand them. We must comprehend just what is recorded here to bless our own hearts if we are to be channels of blessing unto others. John, in his first letter, chapter 15, he says, Now these things I write unto you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That you may know that you're saved, that you have life eternal. They are written here for your benefit, for your assurance. And may we benefit as we read them day by day. Jeremiah's word to the king was not changed. It was unpleasant news. It was the truth. It was a word of impending danger and judgment. A word for the success of the Babylonian army, because they're going to come in and do a lot of damage. They're going to take captives from this city. They're going to burn this city with fire. And it wasn't a pleasant message, but it was the word from the Lord. And just as Jeremiah had spoken, so it came to pass. I was reading recently. Do you believe everything you read in the newspapers? Do you? You better not. What about the information given on television, news, or radio talk shows? Do you believe it? A Roper survey showed that even though Americans overwhelmingly believe that the press is essential to a free society, only 2%, 2 out of every 100 Americans, believe what they read in a newspaper report. 2% say, oh yes, the paper, it gives us accurate information. Only 2% really believe it. For television news anchors, the trust level is only 5%. And for radio talk show hosts, the figure drops to 1%. Justified or not, it seems that we don't trust our news sources. We don't believe much of what we hear. Even what is supposed to be authentic news, backed up by information from witnesses and pictures that are shown on the television screen, yet some of it is not accurate. Much of it is inaccurate. There is one news source, however, that will pass the test of 100% reliability. It is the biblical record of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's delivered by people whose words were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible has been safeguarded from error. It is the absolute truth about man, about God, about sin, about salvation. So thank God for this book. It stands like a rock, undaunted, mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal. They glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands though the earth may crumble. The Bible stands though the rocks may tumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. What about you? Will you plant your feet on its firm foundation? I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but this assembly here at Boulevard is known as Boulevard Bible Chapel. Am I right? It's a Bible chapel. And I believe that it is fitting whenever we gather here to open the Word of God. For any meeting, prayer meeting, get something from the Scripture. Bible reading, open the Bible. Sunday school, I was so pleased to see this morning the kids come up here and memorized verses of Scripture. They were reciting what they had committed to memory. I believe it's a good thing for the seed of God's Word to be planted in their minds in the early days of youth. And you teachers who are here, don't give up. Though some of these kids may come and stumble and fumble and miss a word here or there, it's a wonderful thing to encourage them to study the Word of God. So I encourage you to read it, to believe it, and to follow its teachings. Now we thank God for all the helpful resources that are available to us. For Bible schools, colleges, and some seminaries, not all, but some of them are doing a good job. Dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, concordances, devotionals, commentaries, all Christian publications, videos, teaching tapes, seminars, retreats, study sessions, Bible conferences, all of these have their place and are useful tools being used by the church today. But nothing can take place of the Word, the written Word that speaks of the living Word. It needs no embellishment. We don't need a whole lot of stories and illustrations and personal experiences to try and just